All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I am joined with Peter Schiff. Folks, this is a big one. We're going to be talking about the economy, a financial apocalypse coming, Peter. We'll talk about that right now. First, trim with Nino, baby. Trim with Nino. According to the CDC, 73.6% of adults are overweight, and a further 40% of those adults are obese or just fat. This is why I highly recommend including this amazing supplement into your daily routine. It contains naturally sourced ingredients with Mother Earth to support weight loss. Its main ingredient is called conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA for short, which has been shown to reduce fat storage while speeding up fat breakdown. The CLA essentially hinders the body's ability to store fat in favor of supporting the body's ability to burn fat. Try today for 51% off, folks. 51% off plus several additional free bonuses. Order today. Hit the link below. Peter, great to have you on, man. I've been looking forward to this interview.
Nino, thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, no, it's great. I see you on Fox. I've seen you on a lot of big syndicates. And, you know, you have your fingers on the pulse with what's going on. And honestly, I got to tell you, just like everybody else, just like my audience, what the hell do we do? Because it seems to me like we're in a really bad spot. And ever since Biden took over, and it's been hell. And I guess you call it Bidenomics.
Well, you know, I don't call it that. I mean, he's calling it that. There really is no Bidenomics. I mean, all they're doing is spending money. I mean, any fool can do that. I don't know why that's called Bidenomics. But, you know, there's also a lot of regulation involved in the Biden administration. So it's destroying the underlying strength that might otherwise be in the economy, absent, you know, Bidenomics.
Which I feel is being done on purpose. I believe this is all engineered to be done on purpose.
Yeah, I just don't think they're smart enough to do it on purpose. I just think they're trying to get votes. You know, that's the bottom line, right? They're trying to hand out something for nothing. The problem is, you know, the voters don't understand how expensive it is when you get something for free from the government. And so politicians exploit that ignorance and that greed, you know, to perpetuate their own careers. But unfortunately, it undermines the living standards of all the people who are voting to reelect them.
Right. And I'm here on the border. So I'm right here in El Paso, Texas. So I'm telling you right now, the immigrants are coming here like gangbusters. They're not even staying here. They're getting flown out to any place they please, anywhere they want. And it's taking a strain on our resources and infrastructure, correct? I mean, what is the game plan for this? I mean, more and more people coming in. I know we're switching over to the AI, taking over the smaller jobs, the lesser jobs. What are these people going to be doing? And it's only straining the economy and the government. Go ahead.
Well, the problem with immigrants isn't the immigrants. It's the welfare state that attracts many immigrants. So we need to turn that off because, you know, all four of my grandparents were immigrants. Now, they came to this country legally, but when they did, it was very easy. It wasn't a big deal. It didn't take them a long time. We were flooding the nation with immigrants in 1890, 1900, 1910, 1920. We had much more legal immigration back then, certainly as a percentage of the current population we had back then, than the immigration we have now, including all the illegal immigration. And those immigrants, you know, helped the economy. They added to the labor resources
then, back available. Then, but today they're getting free cell phones, free credit cards.
We got to stop that. My grandparents came here, they didn't get free anything. They had to work for everything they got. So it's not the people coming that's the problem. It's the welfare state that they're able to become a part of. So we got to get rid of all those benefits so that when people come to America, they're coming to work. They're coming to contribute. They're not coming to live off the rest of us, you know, who are contributing. So that is the problem. So I think we need to crack down on the illegal immigration, but we need to make it much easier for people who are coming here for the right reasons to get in, because we need them. We need hardworking people. We need smart, industrious people. The more, the better, you know?
I'm like I said, I'm on the border, and I'll tell you right now, it's not all hardworking Americans. It's a lot of human trafficking. It's a lot of people that are.
As I said, we can keep those people out, but we got to let the people that are not going to do that in, because we need more workers you know, we don't have enough. We need workers with certain skills. We have a huge skills shortage, unfortunately, in the United States. I mean, we don't have people who can do the work. So we need to allow them to come in from other countries. Otherwise, that, you know, we have to outsource the whole thing, and America loses out on that productivity.
You know, a lot of people are talking right now. I'm seeing a lot of talk around the internet talking about a silent depression, that we are going into this silent depression. How do you see the economy right now? I mean, do you believe we are in a silent depression, or are we just in a recession? How do you see this all? How do you see the landscape right now?
Well, I think we're in the earlier stages of the depression. I don't think it's going to be very silent. I mean, I think it's going to make a lot of noise. Maybe the people in Washington won't hear it, or, you know, to fall on deaf ears in universities or at the Fed. But the people who are living in the depression are going to hear it loud and clear. They're going to experience it in their daily lives to an even greater degree than they're already experiencing it. I think what is going to be the catalyst for the next major leg down is going to be when inflation kicks into a new gear and it rears its head in an even bigger way than it did back in 2021, 2022, when we get the second wave of the inflation, which is going to be bigger. And then the markets finally come to terms with the reality on inflation. And then the bottom drops out of the bond market. Interest rates really skyrocket even more, even though we're at 16-year highs today in interest rates.
You can see them going even higher, huh?
Much higher, much higher. When the dollar tanks and oil, which, you know, oil's around almost $88 a barrel today, but it's headed, you know, much, much higher when the dollar falls. I mean, you're going to look at oil above
$200 a barrel. Leaving the dollar, correct? Everyone's escaping the dollar.
They will be. I mean, right now it's, you know, just kind of like a trickle, but it's going to be, a deluge before too long, where it's a rush to get out of the dollar because, you know, we have these deficits, $2 trillion plus annual budget deficits, not only as far as the eye can see, but the eye can see them getting much bigger than $2 trillion, $3 trillion, $4 trillion. It's completely unsustainable. During the next official recession, when unemployment really spikes back up, the deficits are going to be $4 trillion a year, $5 trillion a year. Right now, interest on the debt, we almost have a $33 trillion national debt. Interest on the debt is now the third biggest line item in the government budget. It's Medicare, Social Security, interest on the debt. Interest on the debt just passed this year, national defense. That's never happened. But by next year, interest on the debt is going to be the biggest expense the government has. By the end of next year, it'll be bigger than Medicare and Social Security. And eventually, it'll be the only expense we have. If this continues, there won't be any money left over for anything but interest. And obviously, we can't get to that point. There's going to be a massive crisis long before we get there. And it's going to send the economy into a tailspin, and people are going to feel the economic pain, you know, much more.
When do you see other countries just dumping the dollar? I mean, there's already talks about it. I'm hearing rumors all over the internet that Saudi's switching, and, you know, they're going to go to the ruble. They're going to buy oil. And what's going on here? Can you put those rumors to rest? Like, what are you hearing?
No, they're definitely doing that. I mean, they have so many economic reasons for trying to move away from this system, which benefits the United States to the detriment of the rest of the world. I mean, so we benefit from this subsidy. Americans get to live a standard of living that is much higher than what we would otherwise be entitled to based on our own productivity. But to make that possible, the rest of the world, and it's not proportionate, some parts of the world feel the burden more than others, but the world outside the United States collectively lives beneath its means to enable 300 million Americans to live above their means. So we get to consume without producing, but the rest of the world has to produce without consuming. We get to borrow without saving, and the rest of the world has to save without borrowing. So, you know, we get all the fun stuff that make our lives better, and they do all the hard work that makes that possible. So when this changes, it's going to be a big benefit for the rest of the world.
Level the playing field.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge negative. But we created an additional incentive for the world to move off the dollar based on the sanctions that the Biden administration imposed on Russia following the invasion of the Ukraine, That was a huge wake-up call to every nation in the world, but in particular, a nation like China, or maybe Saudi Arabia, anybody that potentially could also incur, come out of favor with U.S. politicians. And it sent a message, get out of the dollar. Otherwise, you're in a very vulnerable position because the U.S. could punish you for using the dollar. I mean, Russia did exactly what we wanted them to do. They held all these U.S. dollars. They held all these treasuries. And then we punished them for doing that. And so the message is clear, don't do that, right? And so the world has heard that message. And so they're moving to get away from the dollar. But when I think there will be a rush to get out of the dollar is once you start to see a significant erosion in the dollar's exchange rate relative to a lot of other currencies. So right now, the dollar is still hanging in there. You have a lot of speculators that are still buying it based on rising interest rates, based on a lot of tough talk from the Fed. And so interest rates have helped prop up the dollar. And so our creditors are not in a rush to get rid of their dollars. But once they really see the dollar falling, and I think maybe it needs to fall maybe 20% or more from here, but once that happens and then it keeps falling, then it can go into free fall because then people are going to get nervous about their dollars and they're going to want to get rid of them. But then as more people want to get rid of them, the price starts to drop even faster and ultimately it produces a crash when everybody's like, oh, that's it. Let's just, we got to get out no matter what, sell at any price, right? And then you get a complete implosion of the dollar, which sends consumer prices absolutely ballistic here in the United States.
When do you see something like that happen? Is there any kind of prediction on that? I mean, can you make a guesstimate?
Obviously not. Anybody that's been familiar with me, I've been talking about this stuff for a long time. I mean, it's
you've been saying it's going to come for a very long time, but
yeah, We're literally living on borrowed time. We've been able to kick the can down the road for many, many years longer than I thought we could, a decade or two ago. But the problem is all these years of can kicking have simply allowed the problems to get much bigger. And so the consequences we didn't want to deal with a decade ago are much more severe now because we didn't deal with them a decade ago. We let the problems get bigger. And so when this crisis hits, because we've succeeded in delaying the inevitable is going to be that much worse. So I don't know. Do we have a few more years? Do we have a few more months, days, hours? I don't know. I mean, I'm not smart enough to figure that out.
So how, I saw on tweeted this article as well. Home insurers cut natural disasters from policies as climate risks grow. I mean, that's pretty scary to me. So now they can't even get their houses covered. So people are chipping away where it's going to cost them. So can you explain that for a second? So home insurers are now not covering homes for climate disasters, right? I mean, that's a big...
Well, it's not necessarily because of climate change. I mean, maybe part of the way they want to spin it.
That's
but look, the insurance companies are in a lot of trouble because they own a lot of bonds that have gone down in value as the Fed has raised rates. Meanwhile, inflation is driving up the cost of the claims, because if your house burns down or gets blown down and the insurance company has to pay to rebuild it, the raw materials cost a lot more. The labor costs a lot more. So, they've got to figure out how they can recover this. But one way they're trying to shore up their companies is just by not insuring properties that are at high risk of burning down or being blown down or flooded. And to the extent that they are going to insure these properties, they're going to charge much higher prices because insurance companies are not charities, right? They need to make a profit. So people think that you have some kind of right to insurance.
The business. It's a business.
Yes, you buy insurance. Nobody gives you anything for free, right? Now, there may be some calls for the government to provide the insurance. Then it'll really cost a lot of money. Because if the government gives you insurance, it costs a fortune. You just don't see it. But it's way more expensive when the government provides it than when the free market provides it. Because the free market is very efficient at mitigating the risks and allocating the risks among its policyholders. The government is extremely inefficient. So if the government steps in to fill that vacuum, It just means more inflation to pay for it, because that's really how the government pays for stuff. That's why we have all this inflation. That's why prices are going up, because the government is financing its spending by creating inflation, which is printing money and running deficits rather than raising our taxes. So don't think just because you didn't get a tax hike that you're not paying for Bidenomics. You're paying for it all every time you go to the supermarket, every time you fill up your car with gas, or every time you pay these bills and you see they're so much higher than they used to be. That difference, that's the tax. That's Biden's tax to finance all the spending.
So, okay, we're sounding the alarms here. Everyone knows, everyone's freaking out. So what do we do, Peter? Like, what do Americans do? What does my audience do to prepare? Gold and silver, that's the only thing I can do. That's the only thing I can think of, like, that's stable is gold and silver, but I don't know.
Well, thing you could do. That's certainly one thing you can do. Buy gold, buy silver. You know, I've got a company, Shift Gold, that you can go and buy gold and silver from. We got great prices. We don't, you know, push people into, numismatics or other, you know, so-called collectibles where, you know, the commissions are huge and the salesmen make a lot of money. We get you into the, you know, just the right coins and bars that you need at the lowest markups. And that'll hedge you from inflation. I mean, don't be fooled into thinking, oh, I can get 5% in a money market. 5% isn't going to even come close to breaking you even with how much inflation is going to be. So you're going to really lose if you.
So the safest bet is gold and silver. That's the safest bet, obviously.
Gold and silver they're better than holding cash or bonds. But I would not put everything into gold and silver. Now, if you don't have a lot of money, if you only have a few thousand dollars, that's fine, you know. But if you've got a real portfolio, if you're my age, you know, and you're saving for your retirement and you've got a portfolio that has stocks and bonds, you don't want to put the entire portfolio into gold, but you do want to get rid of your U.S. stocks and bonds, and you want to get into international stocks. That's what we do at Europe Pacific Asset Management. I'm building portfolios of income-producing companies around the world that I believe are going to retain their value, even if we have double-digit or triple-digit inflation here, that they will maintain their real value and provide you with an ongoing income stream that will keep you ahead of inflation and enable you to continue to, you know, have the purchasing power that you expect from your investments, but which you will lose if you continue to hold on to overpriced U.S. stocks and bonds. And so, you know, if you have a portfolio, whether it's still in a retirement account or you have your own portfolio that's in a taxable account, you should contact my reps at Europe Pacific Asset Management and talk about the various strategies that we offer, how we can manage your portfolio. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you know, I have 5 mutual funds that I operate and manage out of Europe Pacific Asset Management. I've got a gold fund, which invests in gold stocks, which if you like gold, I mean, these stocks can do much better. If the price of gold does what I think, gold doubles or triples, I think my gold stocks, my gold funds could go up 5-10x, you know, and if gold goes up 10x, I mean, those things could go 100x. So there's a lot of leverage in the mining sector. Then I've got an emerging market fund. I think the emerging markets are gonna be the major beneficiaries of the dollar's demise. Then I've got a global value fund, a global dividend payers fund, and an international bond fund. So those funds are available on all the major discount brokers. You can buy them all, no load, and you know, just put them, you know, incorporate them into your current portfolio if you're managing it yourself, wherever you are. If you have somebody else managing it, you just transfer the whole account over to me so that I can manage it for you with my team and get you into these types of stocks.
What's your thoughts on cryptocurrency? I mean, a lot of people are playing with that right now. I look at it as a huge gamble. You know, what's your thoughts on Bitcoin, on XRP? I mean, there's so many out there. There's a plethora of this shit that I don't even know what to go for here. Seriously, what do you do? I'm good. You know, this is confusing.
You're right. It's all gambling. It's not even a zero-sum game. It's a negative-sum game due to, you know, all of the transaction costs. Look, you know, people lose money going to casinos. Even the people who lose money lose more than the people who win money win. And that's because of the casino. They take a VIG, right? So everybody loses collectively. Even the winners lose because, you know, they didn't make as much. It's a negative sum game, right? If you and your buddy just cut cards and, you know, 50-50, then one person wins, one person loses. Okay, so it's even. Nobody's really lost anything. You've just switched it. But all these people gambling in crypto, they're losing money because it costs a lot of money to run the crypto casinos. The miners charge a lot of money, and then there's a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, I mean, the underlying cryptocurrencies, whether it's Bitcoin or any of the other coins, they don't have any inherent real intrinsic value. They don't generate any income, you know, like stocks or bonds or real estate. They don't have a real world use like a commodity would, like, you know, gold or oil or copper or soybeans. It's simply used as a mechanism to trade. And as long as somebody is willing to buy it, then you could sell it. The problem is when the supply of people who want to buy it dries up, you can't sell it.
So you're not a big Bitcoin guy. You're not a Bitcoin guy. I have some people that come on that are huge with XRP, huge with Bitcoin, but you're neither.
No. I mean, they're all caught up in it. I mean, you know, they think, I mean, well, the Bitcoin
try telling
people
this to them. They're like, oh, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Like, they get pissed.
Well, the Bitcoin guys, they think Bitcoin is digital gold. They think it's just like gold, but it's nothing like gold. They don't understand gold. That's why they don't understand Bitcoin.
So that's it. Gold and silver. That's what I'm getting from this. Every time I talk to a financial expert, the only thing I get out of it is gold and silver.
Well, that's because you're not talking to me, because they don't look at the world.
Now.
yeah. I'm saying that you can own income producing assets. You just have to own the right assets in the right countries, the right sectors, you know, because gold and silver are never going to throw off any income. They're just going to sit there.
But
what they're not going to do is depreciate like your U.S. dollars. They're going to stay ahead of
it. It's safe. It's just a safe bet.
Yeah, look, when we went off the gold standard, 1970, gold was $35 an ounce. Right now it's $1,900 an ounce. What happened? Well, gold didn't really change. An ounce of gold is still an ounce of gold. What changed is how many dollars you need to buy that ounce of gold. You used to be able to buy an ounce of gold with $35. In fact, you know, when we first went on the gold standard, you only needed $20 to buy an ounce of gold. Right. And it's almost 100 times, right? You've almost had a 99% decline in the value of the dollar, because you need 100 times as much gold to buy a dollar as you needed in the beginning, right? When we first had the Federal Reserve. So, because gold isn't 100 times more valuable, the dollar is 90% less valuable.
Less valuable.
That's what's happened. Yeah. And I think, though, the rate of decay for the dollar over the next 10 years is going to be much faster than what we've experienced in the past. And so you're going to see that reflected in a much, you know, bigger increase in the price of gold.
So the dollar free fall is inevitable. It's inevitable, but I can't imagine it happening on anybody else's watch other than Biden's, you know,
well, I mean, look, if Trump gets elected, it could happen on Trump's watch. It doesn't even matter. This is going to happen. Right?
It's inevitable.
I don't think it matters. Now, it matters, you know, it'd be better to have Trump at the helm when we hit the iceberg than Biden. But I mean, look, these consequences are inevitable. The key is, what do we do in the aftermath? You know, what do we do to mitigate the damage and allow us to repair, right? Because the real problem with having Biden in there or somebody like him is that we'll never repair. We'll never get out of the hole. We'll just dig it deeper.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening. Peter, where can people find you?
Well, I'm on the internet, pretty easy to find. I, you know, don't maintain a low profile. So you can go to my YouTube channel. I do my own podcast, usually two a week, sometimes more, sometimes less. Depends on my workload and what's going on in the market. Like, if
but is it europack.com? Is that where people go?
Well, my YouTube channel is The Schiff Report. So just go there. I got about maybe 560,000 odd subscribers. You can also listen to my podcast on schiffradio.com. That's where the podcast is hosted. It's also on a lot of other, you know, podcast sites. My social media, Twitter, is where I am the most active. I do all my own tweeting. So I don't pay somebody to tweet for me. I'm tweeting, and you know, I've got close to a million followers.
Just tell people that.
Yeah, I've got close to a million followers now, and so that's if you want to follow me on Twitter, because when I see something, or I read something and I want to react to it, that's where I react immediately. I just put my thoughts out there. And so you want to follow me there and encourage other people to follow me.
But it's X now. It's X, not Twitter.
X. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah. My bad. X. So I'm on it. So, you know, follow me on X, but I'm also on Instagram, you know, Facebook, TikTok. I mean, I'm on all this stuff. So you can look for me and you know, just follow me or whatever it is, be a subscriber. But yeah, my main website for my asset management company is the one you can see above my shoulder. It's europac.com. So if you do have a portfolio that you'd like me to manage for you or look over it and give you some thoughts, you know, contact us at europac.com. And again, to get some gold and silver, Shift Gold. That's where you want to call. And I've got representatives standing by that will educate you about the market and make sure you buy the right gold and silver and pay the right price.
It's scary times, man. We're living in some scary times, and you're the guy to go to, Peter. So I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Really appreciate the opportunity.
God bless, Peter.
All right. Take care.